We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yes, indeed. We are ready to answer your home improvement questions. At least I think and hope that Andy is. Andy, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Merry Christmas to you guys there at Linda's Construction.
Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, yes. Your family. How's your mom and dad doing?
Oh, they're awesome. They are.
Well, we know
they are,
that.
Loving life. They're still up in the great north here. They go to Florida a lot in the winter, but with as many grandkids in hockey as they have a hard time getting down to the south.
That's true. Yeah, well, how are things with the Linda's crews? What have they been working on lately?
Oh, we've been it's been as busy as a December as I can remember. We've been in a lot of attics. Window crews are going, siding, leaf guards off in fascia. We've taken to steaming and shoveling roofs off to work on them when we have to. It's just, you know, with as busy a year as we had, with as much work as we still have to do, regardless of the weather, we just got to keep on plugging away.
You know, I'm thinking of new listeners that come on the show, and they may or may not have heard of Linda's Construction, but maybe you could talk a little bit about what your company does. I mean, you've been in the business, 40-plus years now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what do you guys do? What does Linda's Construction do?
Well, pretty much everything, Denny. You know, we like to think of ourselves as a one-stop shop, one call, one contractor. We do some design build. We remodel kitchens and interior. The lead times on that for our company are, you know, we're booking into the end of 2020 into 2021 with them. So
wow.
not a big part of our business. We really do specialize on your home's exterior, roofing, siding, windows, doors, of course, leaf guard gutters. We have a really good insulation crew, and the people that come out and do our heat map analysis and talk about the energy savings that you can have in your home, that's where we really start to shine. That's where our guys really separate themselves from the rest of the contractors. In fact, I have a fun picture I just posted on Linda's Construction's Facebook, Denny. It's one that we found in an attic this week. If you see, you've ever been in an attic, and a lot of insulators use these measuring sticks. So when you go up there, you can see that 20 inches of insulation been blown in here, which is going to give you an R60 with the fiberglass. The problem with this particular one is they bent the measuring stick over, so it started at 10 inches. And the reason we were called out to this house was because he's like, you know, I had some insulation done about 4 years ago, and it doesn't really seem like it's done anything. It hasn't made a big difference in my attic. Well, he thought he had an R60. Turns out he really only has an R30, and there was not a lot of attic air sealing and not the proper ventilation done either. So, you know, he spent $2,500 to really not get anything in return for it. And unfortunately, this is I'm seeing more and more of things like this when we get into attics. It's amazing what people have tried to make their houses more comfortable.
I was going to ask you, and I know you've touched on it over the years, but what's the, just strictly speaking about attics now, what's the worst picture you've ever seen when you climbed into somebody's attic?
I'm
sure you have a few stories.
It's, you know, we've come face to face with live animals up there.
Ooh.
That's always interesting. But the worst one I can think of was a rodent issue. And I mean, you popped your head up in the attic, the ammonia just hit you right in the face. Your eyes immediately started watering. I was worried about the air quality, not only in the attic for a while. We were up there, but what was happening in the rest of the house. But I haven't seen that many animal droppings in one area in my entire life. And I'm talking mice, squirrels, I don't know, a raccoon maybe was up there as well. It wasn't just one type of animal. It was like a rodent sanctuary up there. Mold is always scary when you're up there. But
what do you have to do as
droppings.
Far as the critters now? What does the Linda's crew do when there are there's menagerie of critters up there?
Well, you know, choosing the right type of insulation sometimes can help that, but you want to figure out why they were getting in so you can seal up the attic. Sometimes we get a pest control person involved. We've put these sensors that put out a high-pitched sound up in the attic before. That can sometimes keep them away, but that's a complete suck out. What I mean is we're going to go up there with our giant vacuums, and we're going to remove all of the existing insulation. We're going to treat that area and remove any of the animal droppings, and if we have to bleach some things, we will, and just try to get all of the bad stuff out of the attic, and then we'll do some attic air sealing, and usually in those areas that have rodent issues, Danny, we're going to refill the attic with cellulose. The nice part about cellulose is the fire retardant that goes into that insulation. It's a natural deterrent to rodents. So I see less rodent issues in cellulose than I do fiberglass.
Interesting. I want to invite our listeners to join in. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, could be about insulation, ventilation, building a deck, whatever the case may be, 651-989-9226. That's the same number for the text number. If you'd rather send Andy a text, 651-989-9226. Andy, you started talking about mold issues in attics, too. Have you seen that quite frequently?
Yeah, you know, last year was a big year with seeing mold in the attics because of the amount of stack effect that we were seeing. So when it got as cold as it did last year, the pressure in the house is such a difference from the outside temperature that you actually start to get a lot of air movement in the walls, what we call stack effect. And if you don't have proper attic air sealing, that warm air it can travel up into the attic, or it's going to be pulling the cold air down the walls. And, you know, people sometimes feel like the air coming out of their outlets, or they think they have bad windows because the air is coming out of their trim. That's just the cold air traveling down the walls. Well, if you have improper attic air sealing and your attic is really cold and you got warm air escaping into your attic, that warm air is going to create condensation. Eventually, that condensation is going to cause mold. And last year, with as bad a winter as we had, it was of all the years I can remember being in attics, I saw more mold last spring than in any other year.
Record-breaking rainfall as well.
Yes.
This past couple of seasons. Yeah, huge.
Which is the main reason why my backlog is what it is right now, and why we're working so hard in December. It's, you know, when you have that many rain days where you just can't work outside, or you risk actually damaging the house more by working on it in the rain.
That's your point.
We worked a lot of weekends this year. It turns out it rained a lot during the week, but it was nice on the weekends, so that's when we had to work.
You got to do it. You got to make hay when that sun shines, for sure.
Yes, sir.
All right, Andy, we need to take a quick break, so hang on. We'll do that. Again, inviting our listeners to join in on the conversation. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, call it in or text it in, same number, 651-989-9226. And good morning. Welcome back to our Home Improvement Show. We're here every Saturday at 9 o'clock hour on CCO. Thanks to our friends at Lindus Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S, Andy Lindus with us today. And if you have a question for Andy, call it in or text it in. It is the same number, 651-989-9226. Let's go to the phones, Andy. Jack is calling in, I believe, from Lionel Lakes. Jack, you're on with Andy Lindus.
Hi. Say, I've got an attached garage that the previous owner had insulated the attic without putting a vapor barrier down first. Then he put a floor over it, and there's storage up there. So I've got tons of stuff up there. But I'd like to heat the garage. I'm afraid to do that for fear that I'll have all the condensation issues on that in the attic insulation. Is there a way to seal the attic from the ceiling side, from inside the garage, versus crawling up there and emptying out the attic?
Yes, there would be a way to. You'd have to. I'm not quite sure. Well, it's one of the first things that we look at when we go into attics is, does it have a vapor barrier or not? And if it doesn't, then we're going to recommend spray foam, but that we're going to do it from the attic side of the attic in order to get that vapor barrier, because no matter what you add for insulation, that air can still travel through that. So you could probably do something on the ceiling that's going to seal that area up, but aesthetically, I don't know exactly what it's going to be, and how good it could actually work. You might actually have to build your ceiling down a little bit, Think about that.
Layer.
I've never.
Yeah.
That's a good question because tearing up that floor and getting all the stuff out of the attic is always a chore. I've always wondered, like if you're like me and you get to the storage areas, I just put a whole bunch of stuff up into a storage area in my garage that I'm probably never going to look at, and it's going to stay up there until the next person owns the house and throws it away.
Welcome to the club.
I'm like, what are we doing? Why do we put this stuff up into the attic and just to never see it again because we're afraid of getting rid of it for some reason? But I'm guilty as anyone.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm not the only one.
Yes, indeed.
651.
I'm going to do some thinking but on the break here, Denny. I'm going to make a phone call and see if I have a better idea than tearing up his floor.
All right, good. We'll let you and your research team get on with that. Say, we had a text about, and I know you've mentioned this particular dehumidifier before, but the texter says, I want to purchase a Santa Fe dehumidifier, have a small unfinished basement of rock and sandy stuff, and the rest is crawl space, about 1,000 square feet, wondering, what size dehumidifier? Is that the brand you have?
It is.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if they come, I'm looking it up right now, in different sizes. I thought they were only one size, but I'm guessing if there are different sizes, it'll be judged on the square footage of the area you're trying to make work. And like I said, I was running three dehumidifiers in my shed. My shed is 60 by 100. And the reason why I was running three dehumidifiers is because I use this product in there called Forever Barnwood, made in beautiful Pepin, Wisconsin. They just do an awesome job. It's not real barnwood, but it looks like it is, and it installs just awesome. But the problem was I didn't run a dehumidifier in my garage, so it started to expand and blow off the wall. I literally I was in my garage, and I thought a gunshot went off. I'm like, who is shooting out here? And it was my wall exploding because that's how much moisture was in there. So I started running the three dehumidifiers I went and bought that day at a box store for a tune of about $600 total. And the electricity to run those three was through the roof. And because it took me about a month to get my commercial unit, the Santa Fe unit, in there. Now that I'm just running that one unit, and it takes all the moisture out of my garage. It runs maybe an hour a day, which isn't a whole lot for that big of an area, and never had an issue since. But I don't recall them being in different sizes. I'm sure whatever website, wherever you order it from, if you tell them your square footage, they'll make the right recommendation for you.
Now, is that also a battery backup?
No,
not on that one.
There is no battery backup on that system.
But inside your home, you have one.
Yeah. Well, inside my home, I have a battery backup on my sub pump system, but not my dehumidification system.
Oh yeah. That's what I was thinking about, the sump pump.
Yep.
Battery back, of course.
Yes. Our good friend, Mr. Treble sent me over a battery backup, an enclosed, sub pump tank with, the whole nine yards. It worked out great.
Great.
Fortunately, we don't shoot as many hockey pucks in my basement, so the ball isn't getting stuck in the sub pump nearly as much as it used to. That's actually how it happened one time. My float was wedged against the wall because I'm guessing one of my kids down there shooting pucks ended up moving the pump over, so the float couldn't come up. And we had some big rains, and lo and behold, I go downstairs, and I had an inch and a half of water in the basement. But because I have epoxy floors and a wood basement, it dried out real quick and never really had any issues with it.
All right. I want to alert Steve and Crystal. You're going to be first up here in a minute or so, so don't go away. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, call it in or text it in. It is the same number, 651-989-9226 for the phone call or the text question. So hang on. We have another half hour of the show to go. More home improvement talk here on News Talk 830 WCCO. We are in the midst of our home improvement show on CCO Radio. If you have any kind of a question related to home improvement, call it in or text it in to Andy Linda's same number, 651-989-9226. Andy, we have texters, we have callers, and we promised Steve and Crystal he would be first up here, and let's do that. Steve, you're on with Andy. Good morning.
All right, thank you. Say, Andy, I was wondering, I do have the leaf guard gutters, and I seem to have an icicle issue when they start to, it seems when it snows, and if I don't remove that snow, I seem to have icicles forming on them all the time. And I'm just wondering, did they come up with any heat type system for your gutters, or and my attic was just re-insulated last year along with a new roof, so ventilation is fine. I'm just wondering, what is a person to do with that type of an issue?
Yeah, that's the biggest difference between leaf guard and open gutters. So as the ice is starting to melt off your roof, leaf guard, you may get some icicles on the outside, but once the icicles are free and clear of the gutter, again, you'll have a free-flowing gutter, where an ordinary gutter kind of builds that ice up on the inside, and it actually starts to go up on the roof, which is not a good thing either. You can install a heat tape on leaf guard. I have one particular area in my house that I, outside of rebuilding that roof in a porch, I don't think it was, you know, I live in an old four-square farmhouse that we've remodeled. Well, I've remodeled it once. My dad remodeled it once. My grandmother remodeled it once. So it's been remodeled a few times over the years. And I just can't get enough insulation in there to prevent any type of heat loss. And so I get some icicles in that area. And what I did is I took a heat tape, I ran it on the backside of the flashing, cut a hole in the end cap, ran it in the gutter and out the downspout. And I've never had to deal with icicles ever since. Well, every time my 17-year-old unplugs the heat tape to plug his truck in, I can get some icicles. But if the heat tape is plugged in, I have no icicles. We are currently working with a couple of things we're testing. The reason why we don't offer it out to consumers is I haven't found one that lasts longer than 2 years yet. And I have a hard time charging something to somebody that's just, it's going to have to be replaced in 2 years. Just because they wear out over time, that much electricity running through them, or being exposed to the sun, or I don't know why they continue to fail, but we're testing different ones to see what we can do. But typically, if it's, you're talking about your normal freeze thaw, it shouldn't be that many icicles. If you are experiencing a lot of icicles, even if you had insulation and ventilation done to your attic last year, I would maybe get that re-looked at and see if it truly is being was done properly, or if there's anything additional that you can do.
I noticed.
So I was just at a house, Denny, and
yeah.
They had new soffit and fascia put on, not by us, 3 years ago. And from the outside, when you look at the softened fascia, the aluminum softened fascia, it's vented. You know, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's nice, nicely vented soffit here. It's should be fine. But as we got up in the attic, we realized that they didn't cut out any of the old plywood. So they put a vented soffit over solid plywood.
Oh.
And
so
it's
no
just
venting.
Not venting at all. So there's no intake on the entire house.
Sure.
And it was causing some major issues, as you can understand.
You know, in some cases, and I was going to ask you about this, at our house, as you know, the garage is totally unheated, okay? Totally unheated. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. the house, after Lindis over the years did the whole insulation, and we have all leaf guard gutters,
yeah.
on the unheated garage, there are icicles. None on the house at all. Is that pretty typical if you've got good insulation and good ventilation?
Well,
I mean, none.
Well, yeah, and what people don't get is even in an unheated garage, you know, you pull your car in there, there's some heat that's going to generate
true,
up
yeah.
there. And so it doesn't take much to start to melt the snow that is on the roof. It just needs to get warmer than what it is. And so if you have any type of heat going up, it can start to melt the snow, and snow is going to eventually turn to icicles. And that's what I said. The icicles coming down, yeah, they can be a pain in the butt. You know, you get some ice on the sidewalk. But the alternative of it going up on the roof, it's just much easier to deal with icicles coming down, I think, than ice going up on the roof. I've seen way too many people up there with chisels and pickaxes and just causing more damage than they're doing good, trying to get ice off a roof. So a good rule of thumb, especially if you live in one of those story and a half homes that has the knee walls upstairs, is to make snow raking part of part of the deal in the wintertime. When it snows, we're going to take off I like to go about a foot past the interior wall with a snow rake and remove that. And usually once you do that, you have no issues.
Yeah. All right. 651-989-9226. You want to call in your home improvement question, there's a line open, or you can send a text. Same number. 651-989-9226. Let's go to Earl, who is calling in from Egan, I believe. Earl, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Good morning. I got a friend of mine that has about a 25-year-old townhouse. She has two full bathrooms, upstairs and down. The downstairs bathroom is used by a teenage granddaughter, and it's starting to show spots of mold on the popcorn ceiling. And using 100 square feet for the bathroom ceiling as a size, what would it take for Linda's to scrape the popcorn, treat the mold, and see if it's on the other side of the sheetrock?
Boy, what would it? It'd be tough to put a number to it without taking a look and a look at it. But drywallers and sheetrockers right now are very hard to book. The cost of a project like that is probably not a lot. Denny, you and I have both done our fair share of scraping popcorn ceilings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
And getting rid of them. I have one more in my house, but I have a hard time getting rid of it just because I remember when my dad installed it and he was so proud of the sparkles that he put in it. That was such a big thing in the 80s that I just look at it and laugh and smile every time. I can't get rid of it. I don't want to. My wife would say that I'm just too lazy to put a new ceiling in there, but I'm going to cling to the nostalgia line for as long as I can.
It's a mess though. The job
is a mess. You're probably talking under $1,000 in work if you get the right crew out there. The problem is for us right now, it's probably 6 months before we can work on something like that. I don't think you want mold in there for 6 months. And more importantly, you want to address why the mold is happening. There's some type of moisture issue, and we could probably put a bath fan in. Bath fans are you typically installed for in the $750 to $2,000 range, depending on what type of fan is going in there and where we can run the exhaust. When you do that, you are getting rid of a lot of the moisture in the bathroom when it's showering, or teenage girls are doing what teenage girls do in there, and hopefully that'll get rid of the mold, because that's some moisture issue somewhere, and that needs to be addressed in addition to getting rid of it.
You, Andy, see, you talk about venting bathroom fans. You still find a lot of bathroom fans venting in an attic versus outside?
Yeah, in attics, into soffits, into closets. It's amazing where these bath fans go, or somehow they have a hookup to an outside exhaust, but the fan has come loose, so it's just draining in. I mean, I've seen insulation blown all to one area over time because that fan has been moving it. Just the hose is sticking in the attic, and that's a lot of moisture going into your attic. It's going to create mold, and it's going to be an issue with your air quality in your house eventually.
Well, somebody is really happy here. I'm reading a text message. Maybe you can explain to our listeners who this guy is. I know. Thank you for Eric Kuby. What does Eric do for Linda's?
Eric is our design build specialist. He's one of the busiest people here at Linda's Instruction. Fantastic guy. Customers love him. Here's the things I hear about Eric. Somebody was hurt and couldn't shovel their own driveway, and I get a picture sent to me of Eric shoveling their driveway, or Eric mowing somebody's lawn in a neighborhood because they needed some help. He's just an above and beyond guy who works as hard on his projects as anybody I've worked with. Customers adore him, and it shows. The reviews that we get from our design build team and the remodeling that we're doing out there, he's got a big hand in it. He's a big part of our team.
Okay, somebody obviously is pleased, too. Good going, Eric. Texter wants to know, is there anything new with electric hot water heaters? I don't think I've ever had one. It's always been gas.
You know, I don't know if anything is new. In my understanding, you know, electric water heaters do one thing better than the gas ones. I think they're better insulated than the gas ones. They hold their heat more. Mm. And when I see electric water heaters performing better than the gas ones, it usually has to do with the price of electricity. Now, I know some people with solar panels and things of that nature have opted to go to the electric water heaters because of how their house is built. But it really, you have to look at your house as an entire system and make the decision of, well, how much this is actually going to cost me to work. I recently installed an on-demand system that so this boiler actually is heating a house, and it's the water heater all at the same time, and it's very efficient.
All right, great. Hang on, Andy. Let's take a quick break here, inviting our listeners to join in. If you have a home improvement type of question, call it in or text it in, same number, 651-989-9226. It's a Saturday in CCO land when we talk home improvement in the 9 o'clock hour. That's we're in the midst of right now. Andy Lindis is with me answering your questions. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, call it in or text it in before we run out of time. We have a few minutes left, of course. We've got a bunch of text messages, Andy, and we do have a line open if you want to fill it with your phone call. Where is it here? All right. I just texted, says repainted a room. And notice the screws and the studs are all puffed out. I drove the screws deeper, refilled, sanded, and painted, and they're popping out again. Could this be the screws that were used?
I don't know. Possibly.
Yeah.
More than likely it's because there's some movement in the house, though. And that's why you see nail pops, typically, is as things move, the nails pop out, and a lot of times, you know, you countersink them, and then you put the fill in there, and as that moves, it actually starts to push the fill back out, and it's just there's some movement happening there, would be my guess.
Okay. I don't know about you. I'm not much of a plumber, and I'm looking at this text message here. It says, what can be done to prevent sewer gas coming out of the sink? The toilet flush causes the water in the trap to be sucked out during cold weather. Is that a ventilation problem on top of the roof there?
Yeah. I would want to inspect your sewer vent and make sure it's not freezing shut. The key word there is it only happens in cold weather.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't happen. Now, there's things that you can do to ensure that those sewer vents stay free and clear. I have recommended there's a copper tea that you can buy at most box stores. And the nice part about copper, it does a good job of conducting energy. But when you put that in your sewer stack, your sewer vent, it'll actually ensure that it can't ever freeze 100% solid, always letting the air escape.
Yeah, that doesn't impede any vacuum action or anything.
Doesn't impede any of the vacuum action or anything like that. You know, that's typically it should vent properly. And if it's happening in cold weather, chances are something's freezing up somewhere.
Yeah, sounds like it. Here's a question we've approached before, but are ice dams, texter says, caused more by improper ventilation or lack of insulation, or are they equal?
I'm going to choose neither. I think more ice dams are caused by lack of attic air sealing. As in, like, when I say sealing, like you're sealing a bag, making it tight. Adding insulation to your attic does very little, usually, I think. It's getting up there and sealing all the perforations where the electrical dump is, or where can lights are, the access to the attic. All of those are, if you go up and you use infrared imaging or you run a blower door, the amount of air that's moving through those areas is astounding. And so when we get up there and we can seal all that up, and that's going to make sure that none of the warm air that is rising in your house naturally wants to go up in your attic, it's going to be stuck in your house. It can't get up into your attic. So once you seal the attic, you add your insulation, and then you make sure that you have proper ventilation, because the ultimate goal in the wintertime would be to get your attic the same temperature as it is outside.
All right. 651-989-9226. Another text says this: rather than install a ceiling in my garage, can I just spray foam the underside of the roof before installing heat?
No.
Doesn't really help, does it?
I mean, you could. You're essentially creating a hot roof, and these types of roofs are typically you see in like cathedral type roofs, or people that have great rooms, vaulted ceilings, are a lot of times hot roofs, and a lot of times they have issues because they're not done properly. So we've done our fair share of spray foaming, pulling up the roof deck, spray foaming everything, adding in a false deck, which is going to give us some type of an air gap. Sometimes we have to add a fascia vent, so there's flow actually coming from the fascia up to a ridge vent to try to keep any of the air that is escaping those. Vaulted ceilings are great. They can make make or break a room, but when done improperly, they can really lead to some damage in the wintertime. So if you're okay with having a hot roof, a non-vented but insulated space, you might be okay. But sometimes if you don't consider all of the factors that are going into it, it can run into some issues.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones. I believe Dennis is calling from Minneapolis. Dennis, you're on CCO with Andy.
Yeah, I have a question on – I purchased a house, and it has can lights in it. And I was up in the attic. I was going to add some more insulation. Do the can lights have to have covers on for like covering the fiberglass? You know, you put fiberglass insulation over them for fire protection or anything? Or?
Well, you know, Denny, if you call at your house, you had a bunch of different can lights, but one was different than the rest of them. One was actually a can light not rated to come into contact with insulation. Mm-hmm. What that means is it could get hot enough where, remember, like the drawback on cellulose is there's a reason why it's like newspaper with a fire retardant added to it. That sometimes that fire retardant can wear off and can become a fire hazard. And so you worry about that with can lights. Now, the other thing with can lights, if they're older ones, you're going to want to get the Thermax box and seal that to your ceiling. Regardless if your can lights are rated to be coming in contact with insulation or not, because that's going to seal off that can light, and it's going to make sure that no heat is escaping through that. Now the new ones that we install with the LED, though they're all self sealed anyways. They're not cutting into your attic. They do a really good job of keeping the air out. So maybe they're not needed. But the old ones with that you're in, like if you're anything like the ones I have in my house, it seems like you got to replace the bulbs in them every 4 seconds. they get hot, and that's why you need to put this Thermax. It's a styrofoam box, a foil box that goes over the top of it inside the attic, and then you spray foam around that, sealing it to your ceiling. So it doesn't allow any air to escape. They're for relatively inexpensive. If you're going to put insulation, I think those are more important than the insulation that you're adding. If I had to choose between one of the two, I'd keep the insulation I have up there and put these boxes on.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I remember when your crews put those on. So you put the covers. This is in the attic now. You put the covers on, then you foam over that.
Correct.
Yeah. And what a difference that makes.
It does. It's. I'm telling you, when we go up into attics and we take infrared imaging, and if you have can lights, it's going to be little red dots all over your insulation.
Yeah.
Where the heat's coming up. It's quite amazing. Even if the heat's not coming up. Think of this. Every time you turn that light on, it's creating heat itself. So here you have the light fixture in your attic, and every time that light's on, it's creating heat. What's that heat doing? It's getting up to your roof and melting the snow and causing an ice dam.
And, of course, if you start using LEDs, that's not as heat-generated as the old ones.
Which,
so.
I think it's pretty much everything that we do now seems to be LED, and we're all... Isn't technology awesome?
It really is.
It makes our lives easier. It's things last longer. I'm a big fan, and that's why I love my job. One, the people I get to work with. Two, the stuff that comes out every year and changes in our industry. It's just fun to stay on top of it.
You kind of get the first piece of information we civilians do. So that's got to be kind of fun. Well, listen, we're just about out of time. I want to wish you and your family at Lindus and all the crews, all the good folks, a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And I think we're going to have a Best Of show next week.
Yes, we are. So, yeah, Merry Christmas to everyone, CCO and CCO land, and very thankful. Greatest year I've ever had in my life, Denny. And,
outstanding.
The partnership we have with you guys and all the listeners are a big part of it. So thanks, man. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays. Thanks, Andy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.